Blog Talk Radio.
ሰለሞን ማለ እርሱ በፊት በእውነት ነበር.
These are also the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Of the Shabbat of the 7 days, counting from first day Sunday. Here we are at the fourth day of the Shabbat. First of all, I'd like to give thanks and praise to the Almighty, you know, for life, and also for the opportunity to be on the round table on Honorable Priest Isaac, this channel right there, the round table, some of the other brethren. Hail up to Rase for Selassie. It's like I was under a little bit of fire, right? But you know, it's like precious metal, you know what I mean? if it's of the substance, it only can get, you know, more refined. I give thanks to also, you know, Ras Icern, also Ras Icoma. There was Ras Kwame, but I think he got off the line. Just go to the priest Isaacs. And also, I want to say this to some of the fam, some of the LOJ. You know, easy. I haven't got to look at the chat, the back and forth, but many ones were commenting on the back and forth. It's like as it heated up a little bit, you know, on certain points, just seek to clarify certain points, you know, not to want to project on I and I, you know, what I and I view is when we're articulating, you know, what we're saying, you know. Anyway, be that as it may, brothers and sisters, you know what I mean? Not new to this, but true to this. So here for the Wisdom Wednesday. There's some follow-up sign I have to, you know, get to, you know, to just review how that kind of went and some of the conversation in the chat. So I want to heal up, Ras Baruchel, Ras Tobiah, Ras Tafari, you know, as well as the other brothers and sisters. You know, those who may even agree or even those who disagree. I think some of the points are kind of very clear, but I think I and I, Brother Icern, don't take this as no disrespect. I caught a couple of his comments. He said, go to the channel. I think it was on the video about the Kebra Neges, you know. But do you see someone's like shifting their position a little bit and kind of projecting onto us kind of some of the views or views that they want to argue? They've been arguing certain views. And what our brother Ross Safer, hopefully Safer, you can catch this right here, because this is in the opening of the podcast right here. Like just touch on a couple of the points made. Basically, textual analysis, looking at the text, you know, who's asked, where does Judaism come from? Where does Judaism come from? Judaism is like a lot of the other isms. It comes from Englishism. It comes from these times of the Gentiles. But if you say that, it might go over some Ross's heads. They don't see it from that perspective. I think that's where there's all these misperspectives over something that can be a good and a simple kind of reasoning among brethren. Not that we're going to agree on everything, so forth and so on, but to have ones project onto I and I, you know, like we are struggling, you know, and we're trying. No, we're saying to the brother, you're talking about archaeology. Well, there's a lot of archaeology. Why don't we get into archaeology? In fact, by promoting there's other places that needs to be archaeologically researched, in places in Ethiopia, places even in, you know, Arabia, right across, you know, the Red Sea, the Etara Bahia. You know, of course, this might not be able to be done even at all or fully, you know, within I&I tribes, but just to show that the earth has a lot of secrets to yield. Even back in the 20s, in the 1900s, back in the 1900s when he started to discover, quote, unquote, you know, discover more ancient Egyptian art and facts. It kind of clarified, you know, the popular, the academic, and much of the view of ancient Egypt, you know, that was not so clear before the discovery of those artifacts. So we was actually pushing for that and saying that there's other theories that are being proposed to the conventional theories. Sometimes they're referred to as fringe theories, right? But one of the things that's lacking in whether proving or disproving that is archaeology. Right. For example, the archaeology in ancient Egypt, we know the Europeans have been at that for a while, you know, on and off, you know, more so in these latter days than in the earlier days. But we go back to Napoleon and the British and so forth and so on. That's where some of these things actually started out on this level that has reached this point today. Then we have archaeology going on in the Levant, what one's referred to as the region of like the Palestine or the State of Israel region. And this is being prompted by the Zionist, the modern European Eurocentric Zionist movement. We have to label it what it is. Some important highlights our brother had brought up, and we would like to even get into a little more reasonment because on these things, he has a certain view of certain things, and we're not dismissing everything in his view, right? But the opportunity to really have a discussion You know, we're not trying to proselytize. We don't even seek to proselytize on this platform. You know what I mean? We talk about Rastafari sabbatical studies, Torah studies, Rastafari Jews, Rastafari Israelites. And it's for, you know, come who will, you know, who may receive what you are willing to receive. You know what I'm saying? If you don't receive it, so be it. You know what I'm saying? It's not about saying, well, like the Christians and some religious folks in some denominations of this or that, especially Christians do this, you know, like you're going to go to hell or, you know, fire and brimstone. I mean, there is fire burn. You know what I mean? We definitely do recognize judgment. You know what I mean? But our focal point is not about a so-called religious conversion or even a literalist view. Right, as many of y'all probably know. But what does it mean to be literal? It's according to the word, right? And that means we have to analyze the text. That's what we seek to do even here on this particular platform right here, is like go over textual analysis, right? Linguistic analysis. And this is one thing that's sadly lacking. You know, sadly lacking. His Majesty says that language is the key of culture. I was going to, like, share that word right there, but it was, like, so much of the back and forth, they didn't really allow that opportunity, you know, for that. I think perhaps if we can have a discussion, you know, before we go on the Rastafari roundtable a little more direct, we can clarify that. But I definitely want ones-on-ones to check it out. You know, when you go to the Priest Isaac's, the roundtable right there, you know, please like, you know what I mean, and also give thanks for the, you know, the production, the opportunity. Like to have some different points of view from Rastafari brothers, you know, and from family to show that we're not a monolith in that sense. You know, this definitely shows that we as Rastafari are, you know, free thinkers. You know, now in this free thinking, right, let's not get enslaved in some of the philosophies, academic and scholarship philosophies of others, but, you know, carve for ourselves. Proverbially speaking, you know, a way of looking at this, even if we do agree with certain European interpretations, is not to swallow down lock, stock, and barrel their position because it appears that, well, they are in the present, you know, rulership. Anyway, be that as it may right here, I just want to heal up the brothers and love to the brothers. Truly, truly, I actually like that sort of discourse, but sometimes people get off-ended, you know, at such discourse. You know, we was being a little quiet on it, but when the mind starts saying, oh, they're struggling, Ross Safer, Cypher, and Iodonis are struggling. This wasn't a struggle. We're trying to be respectful. You know, when we saw the disrespect, we had to kind of say, okay, let's step it up and let's zoom in on these points, point for point. But here, 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 Wisdom Wednesday on the air and the Irish Morn, let us go forward.
And sing the dark sayings of old. Definite wisdom and knowledge stretch forth her hand. Unto you, O children, I cry. All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the works of Jehovah, or man you will surely fail. Sorrowful, your folly is your reward. Better a dinner of herb where love is than feasting where there is rot. All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the works of Jehovah. Amen, you will surely fail. Oh yeah, nah, nah. Yeah, people. upright, for this is the time that will tell, when the righteous one shall stand up strong. Oh, why did the heathen rage? Are the words of my mouth speak righteousness? All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the works of Jehovah. Sing the dark sayings of old. Doth not wisdom and knowledge stretch forth her hands? Unto you, O children, I cry. All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the words of Jehovah. A man you will surely fail.
Evening psalm right here, evening chant, Psalm 94.
O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Nothing here to know just what life would be. Cause our forbearance were used as slaves. They had no choice, but they faced in grace. they try to run, every one of them will tumble down. Yeah, the days are tough, and they couldn't control everyone. Every big man shall pay for the things that he's done this day. Yeah, I'm an athlete and I say, the God's a guide us in every way. But they can't run away from their judgment day. A wicked must get paid on a judgment day. Cause if he try to run, yeah, I tell you that he's gonna tumble. Where, anywhere he go, I say the good Lord always run. Yeah, and that's your time run out on you. He gonna break your heart in two. But there's one thing left to do for every one of us to bury you. So you can run away, no you can run away, you can run away, I face your judgment day. Oh yeah, oh, whoa, I face you, oh
this double course, double course, double course, double course, double course. Sabbatical study, this I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, Shabbat strong, Shabbat strong, Shabbat strong, Shabbat strong, Shabbat strong, Shabbat strong.
Rebel Soul, classic by Aswad, Aswad, Aswada, Saud, Aswad, which means black in Arabic, yes. So Aswad, they were like disciples of BMW, Bob Marley and the Wailers right there. You can hear a lot of it in their old roots and classic sound. There is Rebel Soul. So we play that tune right here because there's a lot of, quote, rebel lions and rebellions going on here. Now, even that tune there is a good tune. It depends on the context. It depends on the perspective, how you face the tune. If we are rebelling against Yahweh, truth and life, like the Israelites, disobedient Israelites in the wilderness, that is a bad thing, right? But if we're rebelling against the world, flesh, and the satanic seclorum in Yahweh, truth and life, well, that is a good thing. So context and perspective is very, very important. And here, before we ride up with today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of Ethiopian Hebrews, here we have Psalm 148 that has a theme of the creation, the iration. But first up, right here, let's go over a synopsis and an overview for this Chukat. We touched on some of the basic, we'll say, summary items here in this 39th degree of our sabbatical study. But here, picking up from Numbers chapter 19 to Numbers chapter 22, verse 1. Previously, in the 38th, right, previously on Rastafari sabbatical studies, right, we had Korach for Shabbat Korach. That established the authority of Moshe, of Moses, and not Reuben, and not Reuben. Now, Reuben was the firstborn of Yaakov, of Jacob, Yaakov here of Yisrael, Yashallah. But we should know and be familiar with how Reuben, how he defiled his primogeniture by going up to his father's bed and sleeping with one of his father's wives. We have that right there. So the previously on Rastafari sabbatical study, we had Shabbat Korach, called that Sabbath, cold as ice, Sabbath, crazy baldhead Korach. And that established there the authority of Moshe and not Reuben, as the leader of Yisrael, as well as the authority of Aharon Aaron and not the other sons of Levi, the other sons of Levi, as Yahweh, as Jehovah's chosen priestly line and lineage. Now remember the principle once again that all of the Kohanim, according to the Torah principle, all of the priests are Levites, but not all the Levites are priests. Just to put that idea of the order, right, the order in the camp. So here we have the B'nai Yisrael, the B'nai, the sons of Yisrael, a.k.a. in translation called the children of Israel, or also can be translated as Israelites. So the Israelites, the children of Israel, in the Hebrew, literally, directly, is B'nai Yisrael, speaking of the sons of Yisrael, the Leimandem, the Mandem, the rank and file Israelites. They were warned to keep their distance from the priestly duties and to allow the appointed and duly anointed representative of Yahweh, of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, to intercede on their behalf in the sanctuary and especially with the priestly functions. Now, what's important to note is that prior to what's called Moshe's Law or the Torah of Moses, as it's often called, but prior to the revelation, right, upon Har Sinai, that all of the firstborn sons especially, had an ancient rite. We can study it in the Hebrew, right, amongst the Hebrews and amongst the pre-Israelites, the Hebrews, and we also can study among other nations, that the firstborn sons, right, often served in the family, in the community as that priest to intercede with the higher powers, the Elohim, the God, you know, of different tribes and different people. And the same was true for the Israelites. So what you have to recognize is from the B'nai Yisrael, from the rank and file Israelites' perspective, there was a right or a privilege that was done since perhaps the first time, right, of the firstborn being not just the leader of the family, but also being the priest, even in a sense the high priest of the family. But now through the legislation, through HaTorah, the direction, instruction, through the Brit, through the covenant, there's a different order that is being established. Remember, all this is based on what Yisrael said to Jehovah. All that Jehovah says we will do, and we will be obedient. And we can see how that has been working out so far here in the fourth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book known as Bamidbar in the wilderness. Now here, on this Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong for Shabbat Chukat. You might see it written as C-H-U, but it's not Chukat, it's Chukat, which means statute, or in the translation, ordinance. Ha'el, the Almighty, first gives the, quote, law of the heifer, of the red heifer. First up here in this sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, Jehovah first gives the Torah of the Para Aduma. Now, Torah in the Hebrew context is feminine, right? Torah is feminine. The Para is a female bovine or a ox, or not an ox in that sense, but a cow, speaking of the female, right, the feminine. So here we first have the Torah, direction, instruction of the Para Aduma. This was a special whole burnt offering whose ashes were used to purify someone that was contaminated, on the Hebrew, tameh, right, the English sense, contaminated by contact with a dead body or with a corpse. The Para Aduma, Para for a heifer or a female, we could say a female bovine, a cow, and Aduma for red. Red in the Hebrew context of like the reddish-brown ground, and then also we look at the ground and the whole connection of the Kemet. And once say the Kemet, that's that reddish-brown, that nutrient-rich soil, right, that during the inundation, right, at the rise of the dog star at the head of creation, roughly around the 23rd of July, would cause that inundation of waters, right, from inner Africa, inner Ethiopia, Tobia, where the water and the source of the Nile waters are, and it will push down the soil down into the Nile Valley, and it's that dark reddish-brown ground. It's so rich in its minerals and nutrient that it's actually reddish-brown, but it appears to be black. Thus, we have the Kemet idea. I'm pointing that out because it's important to understand words here. So we say Aduma, and we have Adama, the reddish-brown ground, and then we have Adam, Aleph, first Dam, blood. So here we have the Para Aduma, the red heifer, or like we say, the red Hathor. We'll pick up on that as we move forward. The red heifer, according to the Torah direction instructions here, had to be a perfect tamim. So now, when people say, well, there's nothing perfect, nobody's perfect, nothing perfect, you know, what's being said here? What's the real context, the perspective of it? In the Hebrew, the word used here is tamima. Now, tamima is a feminine sense because speaking of that which is feminine in its energetic sense, and we're speaking about the para aduma, the red heifer, had to be tamima. Tamima coming from the root tamim or tam. Tam is perfect in the sacrificial sense, an offering, right? Had to be perfect. In other words, nothing lacking and nothing extra. So in terms of the creation, in terms of the animals, for example, that means the animal could not be a hybrid, right, or handicapped or lame. It had to be, you know, couldn't have like three legs because most animals have four legs. It couldn't have two heads, so it had to be perfect. So the idea Hebraically of tam, the word sound is tam, and also tamim. When speaking of Noah, it says that Noah was perfect in his generations. Now, that particular period of time, there's a lot of reasoning and some evidence in the scripture that there were certain beings that some may refer to as fallen angels or Nephilim, like Nephilim, the fallers, and there was a lot of hybridization. Just so speaking with a fellow, you know, older brother, and heal up Brother Yaniv if you hear this, and also heal up to the African Israelites of Yerushalayim, of Dimona, the Kingdom of Yah community as well. Also heal up to the mighty Hebrew, and also his elder got to catch a kind of a reasonment where they were also on this level as well. Speaking that, in order to really understand and to get a good standing in the Bible, we first of all have to recognize the language of the Bible and that many things get lost in translation. So when people say, well, there's nobody perfect, is this really true? And there's nothing perfect. Is that really true? It's interesting how we would, as people nowadays in this world, flesh, satanic seclorum, how we would say concerning people, well, you ain't perfect. There's nobody perfect. But then about material things and things in life, we will call certain things perfect. You know, you needed some money, you got that money, you might say perfect because it was exactly, it wasn't more than you needed, it wasn't less, it was perfect. So you see, the Hebrew sense brings out the real sense of this idea of perfect. So it is possible, right, for things and people to be perfect, but this shows the fall of the consciousness of humanity in general, and we, the B'nai Yisrael, once lost, now found in particular. But the red heifer, the Para Aduma, had to be a perfect specimen. Nothing lacking, nothing extra. That was completely, so it says Tamima, and Tamima, as we have with Noah being perfect in his generations, with Jacob, if you look at Genesis and the narrative concerning Jacob, right, and Jacob and Esau when they were youths, it says that Jacob, Yaakov, that he was a plain man, according to the King James Version of the Bible. It says that he was a plain man, right, dwelling in tents. Now, you read that there, what sort of idea do you get of that right there? But actually, what the Hebrew says is that he was tamim, he was tam, he was tam, he was perfect, right? Nothing extra, nothing lacking, right? He was a perfect, right? Not plain, like, oh, he was plain, but Esau was extraordinary. No, he was nothing extra, perfect. while Esau was lacking, just to put the context there. So the Pater Aduma had to be a perfect specimen that was completely Aduma in the Hebrew, completely Aduma, to say completely red, quote, without blemish, Ein Baha Mum, Ein Bah Mum, Ein no Bah in her, Baha in her, Mum, no blemish, no spot in which there's no defect. Now, many of the ancient sages of HaTorah, in seeking to bring out a reasonment or interpretation, so what did that mean concerning the red heifer? They interpreted without blemish, Ein Baha Mum, to refer to the cow or the heifers to her color. That is, it was to be without a single white or black hair. So that means if it was mostly white and had, not mostly white, mostly red and had a little white or had a little black, it would not fit the Torah requirement of it being Tamima, perfect, right? It had mostly red, but now it had a little white or a little black here. So this is also a very interesting area of scripture. Why? Because this is the only sacrifice in HaTorah where the color, right, the color of the animal is explicitly and directly required. No ifs, ands, buts, no exceptions. So as we look through HaTorah, we look through the sacrifices, the offerings, we find that this here, the Pater Aduma, the red heifer, right, is the only sacrifice in HaTorah, the direction instructions, where the color of the animal is explicitly required. So I link this here with the color of the Pater Aduma, the red heifer, and also the movie, I don't know if you've seen it, but the color of the cross, the color of the cross. Moreover, the cow, the heifer, was never to have had a yoke up on her. She was never to be under yoke, meaning that she, speaking of the heifer, must never have been used for any other purpose, any profane purpose, right? Any, you know, mundane purpose. Now, unlike other sacrifices offered at HaMizbeach, at the Mizbeach, the altar, at the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the Pater Aduma, the red heifer, was taken outside the camp. Now, here we have a very interesting link with the New Testament, the Berit Chadasha. In the Berit Chadasha, we find, in speaking of Moshiach, Yeshua HaMoshiach, that it says that let us go outside the camp, because our Lord, he was crucified outside the camp. Notice this phraseology, outside the camp. And notice also that this is the only sacrifice where the color of the animal, like the color of the cross, is explicitly required. So it had to be taken outside the camp, the Pater Aduma, to be slaughtered before HaKohen, the priest, who then took some of her blood and sprinkled it seven times before the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Then the Pater Aduma, the red heifer, right, would be burnt in her entirety. Her hide, flesh, blood, and even the dung were to be burnt. Now, this also is different than all the other Levitical sacrifices. We had called this some years back as we were studying this. We call this the paradox, right, of the female ox right here. That's why we call this here the Pater Aduma, the red heifer, or the red Hathor. Right? Remember where they came from, Mimitzrayim. Also, unlike other offerings, the blood of the sacrifice of the Pater Aduma was to be completely burnt in Ha'esh, in the Isat, in the Esh, in the fire. Now, Hyssop, scarlet yarn, and a cedar stick would then be thrown into the burning Pater Aduma. That were the same items. These were the same items. Hyssop, take note, scarlet yarn, cedar stick, These are the same items that are used to cleanse, according to the Torah, the tzara'at. Tzara'at in translation is translated as leprosy. Mobeda in studying the Hebrew, a skin dis-ease, right? To cleanse the motzi ra'a, the mitzora. Now, these items, along with the blood of the paraduma, were therefore assimilated into the ashes of the sacrifice, which were gathered and mixed with living water. So you might find the term living water, right, both in the Hebrew and sometimes in the translation. Living water is basically running water, right, as stagnant water is like dead water, living water, flowing water, running water, right? So all of this was to be mixed with running water or living water to create what was called the, quote, waters of separation. In some cases, we found that the water of separation is also referred to as the water of purification or the water of lustration, right? For the Yisrael, the Beit Yisrael, the Beta Israel community. Now, anyone who came into contact with death, namely a corpse, a dead body, was required to be cleansed, to be purified, cleansed using these waters. The purification process, it took a full 7 days using three stalks of hyssop dipped into the water and shaken over the defiled person on the third day and then again on the seventh day. Take note. After the second sprinkling, the person was immersed in a mikweh. Mikwah. Mikwah in the ancient pointing, modern Hebrew, they would say the mikvah, mikvah, right? Mikvah, mikveh, mikwah, the mikwah, mikwah, right? And was then declared, and the mikwah is similar to, or some make an analogy of baptism in the Vrit Chadasha sense of baptism. But there was the immersion, right? The immersion. We find it as we read HaTorah in the Hebrew carefully, we find it that that's one of the requirements for some when it says to bathe, right? Some says completely bathe, you know, shall bathe his body. And the context of it is not just like a shower. It's like a bath, the difference. Not a shower, but a bath. So after the second or baptism, right, the mikwah, right? After the second sprinkling, the person was immersed in a mikwah and was then declared tahor, tahor or tahora. For a man, tahor, clean or teru, right? For a woman, tahora, clean. The following evening. Now here, picking up. So that's one of the main items here in this 39th sabbatical study. Shabbat, chukat, Sabbath, ordinance, Sabbath, statute, concerning the statute or the ordinance of the para aduma of the Hebrew red heifer, a.k.a. the red Hathor. Now, HaTorah, the portion then, the Torah portion here, the 39th, it jumps ahead 38 years later, right? We get a fast forward here, 38 years later, when Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel, when they arrived in the Midbar, the wilderness of Tzin, the wilderness of Tzin. Some will say Zin, but Tzin, right? The wilderness of Tzin. Now, Moshe's and Aharon, their sister Miriam died on Abib 10th, the 10th of the first moon, the first month, also known as Nisan 10th, and was buried. Now, after Miriam, big sis, after Big Sis's death, Miriam's death, Ha'am, Jah people, they thirsted. They got thirsty for water. And they went back to their usual. They started to complain. Yahweh, Jehovah then instructed Moshe. Moses was instructed to take his staff. And taking his staff, this is as a sign of authority, and to speak. And to speak. Right? The price of the truth is paying attention. Moses was instructed by Jehovah to do what? Right? To take his staff and to speak to the rock to yield its water. So Moshe was instructed to take his staff and to talk to the rock. Now, once I want to say, don't talk to me, talk to the hand. Moses was told to talk to the rock, not talk to the people. But what happened? Well, Moshe was angry. Moses was wroth. He was upset, right, at the rebellious Israelites, however. And instead of speaking to the rock, he instead chided and berated the people for their grumbling and complaining. You have to think about this for a moment. Because Moshe must be thinking like, wait, this is 38 years later, right, almost like 40 years later. And y'all are still doing the same thing that got y'all to wander around this desert for 40 years earlier, right? Remember what Jah had told Moshe when Moshe had appealed, right, for like a plea bargain for the rebellious sons of Israel? Jehovah says, I will pardon them according to your word. See, there's more there when you study it, because what Moshe did, Moses, in hearing the 13 attributes, right, the Shalosh Esrei Midot HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of he who be who he be, found in Exodus chapter 34, Moses, like a good attorney, you know, like a good lawyer, one who's good at law, right, and reasonment, and even argument, legally speaking, on behalf of mercy for the disobedient Israelites, he was able to mitigate, you know, the judgment and the circumstances, because he wisely paid attention to the attributes of Yahweh, of Yahuwah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, Yahuwah, He who be who He be, who He be? Well, the 13 attributes in Exodus chapter 34 brings that out. And then when you see how Moses wisely, right, pointed to some of the attributes, also he pointed to the children of Kemet, the Mitzrayim. He said, if you destroy them, what will the children of the Kemites, the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians think? They will think that this is because you were not able to take the people in. So he really argued time and time again for the disobedient Israelites. So now 38 years later, after Big Sis's death, you know, Miriam's death, you know, the people got thirsty. They got thirsty. Israel is thirsty. And they started to complain. And Jehovah, what did he do? He instructed Moses on what he should do. Take his staff and talk to the rock. And as you speak to the rock, it will yield water for the people. But Moses and Aaron, you know, but Moses, no doubt, in the leadership position, right, with his authoritative staff, he says, must we do everything for you? Must we do this? Must we do that? Me and my brother have done everything for you. Well, he didn't say me and my brother, but it was almost like that, right? And then as he got to the penultimate of what he had to say, the next to last, he hit that rock. And what happened? When you read the narrative, water, it gushed out. What happened next? The people, they brought their water troughs and everything to get that water. Nobody's saying, thank you, Moses. All right, thanks, man. You know, it was just a little thirsty and everything like that, right? But what happened? Well, the water had issued forth, but Jah told Moshe that neither he nor his brother nor Aaron would be permitted to enter the promised land because of their disobedience. All right, so we can see clearly here, Jah is not partial. Previous Torah reading and feeding, Jah is defending his rightful leadership among the children of Israel, Moses and Aharon, right, against the disobedient Israelites. Here's the question I always pose when we come over this, because it's a point that I haven't heard many ones bring up, because maybe most ones are just going over verses, you know, a gotcha verse here, gotcha verse there, not really studying the context, not really reading with comprehension. When you read with comprehension here, you're like, wow, that's kind of messed up, because Moses and Aaron now are told they can't enter into the promised land. Could it be because the promised land did not remain in them? Remember, the promised land is a state of mind. Moses, he gets angry and vexed with the people. I mean, it's nothing new, Moses. I mean, remember 40 years earlier,
You know, this is the Israelites. You know, a peculiar people indeed. But no one appealed for Moses and Aaron. But Moses and Aaron, the two in the previous Quran Torah portion, I was up against 250 plus Israelites, plus the other Israelites, right? He appealed, Moses and Aaron appealed on their behalf, but no one appealed, no one prayed for Moses and Aaron. Just interesting. Brings out the phrase that I've heard said before. Didn't agree with it before, but I'm beginning to see it even more now, that no good deed, as they say, goes unpunished, so to speak. But the camp of Yisrael, after that, right, the camp of Yisrael then moved on, right? They moved on, right? They moved on to Mount Hor, right? Mount Hor, right? Near the land of Edom, the land of Edom, right? Moshe called an assembly of Ha'am, of the people, and he explained that Aaron was going to die. He then led Aaron and his son Eliezer to the top of Mount Hor, where he removed Aaron's high priestly garments, and he put them on his son Eliezer. This little footnote here, we're going to pick up with it because there's accusations. Of course there's accusations. Scripture says there'll be accusations against the righteous. But, you know, accusations concerning Jonathan, you know, Jonathan, the son of the first king of Israel, Saul, and concerning David. Because there's a part in the Bible translation where it says how Jonathan, you know, took off his robe and he took off his apparel. Actually, he took off his coat and he took off his armor and he gave it to David, right? This is likened to what we see going on right here in the pattern recognition, where Moses led his brother Aaron and Aaron's son Eleazar, right, to the top of Mount Hor, where he removed Aaron's high priestly garments. Because if you read in the Torah, it's actually the high priest or the anointed or the one who's being officiated, right, is dressed. You know, the high priest and the consecration is dressed. Even the king on that level, right, in coronation is dressed. Right, he is anointed. These things are done for that one. So when we look in the Jonathan and David narrative, gay or nay, we say in the modern sense of gay, nay, nay, nay. And the misunderstanding is because you cannot read or understand the Hebrew Bible and culture from a whitewashed Western Gentile state of mind. So here, he removed Aaron's high priestly garments, and he put them on his son Eleazar. This is officiating. This is why in HaTorah it says that the priests, right, are not to consecrate the people with their clothing. In other words, when the priests are on duty in the sanctuary, they put on the garments, and the garments is a part of their officiation, right? They're being official. You know what I mean? They're being official in their capacity. That's why John says that when the priests finish their service and they leave the sanctuary, they put on regular clothes like regular people. This is why Rabbeinu, our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, Black Lord and Savior Yeshua HaMoshiach, he said when he rebuked the scribes and Pharisees in his day and time, he said how all of them, they like to be called like rabbi and called by their title in the marketplaces. It's one thing in the Hebrew church or the synagogue, you know, or the Beit Midrash, the house of study, for a moreh to be called a moreh, or a scholar of Torah, a rebbe, a rabbi, to be called a rabbi. But in the marketplace, you're just a regular, you're just basically one of us. In your service, you are that, but as a Israelite, you are a brother, but in your service in the sanctuary, you're a priest, you're a Levite, you're a high priest, what have you. But here, just to connect those dots, you know, because a lot of times people are asking a question over here in the scripture, but haven't fully read or studied or read with comprehension another area of scripture. So the scripture explained the scripture. This is what it means by rightly dividing the word of truth or explaining the word of truth. So like Moshe, Aaron was denied entry. He had no access, no entry to the promised land. Why? Because he sinned. He ucked up at Meribah. Meribah, the place known as Meribah. Now, the whole nation of Yisrael, Yasharala, mourned for Aharon. How long? For 30 days. And it's from these precepts and examples are best practices and procedures. Even in His Imperial Majesty's autobiography, The Conquering Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Kedemah Haile Selassie, Book 1, he speaks of how he gave instruction to the savants, the learned ones of the church, the scholars, right, to also the bishops, to preach against the hopeless mourning for the dead, to preach against the hopeless mourning for the dead and a lot of traditional practices like cutting of hair and breast beating and wearing a particular, you know, like wearing black for like 10 years or something like, you know, people get obsessed over it. You know, this is also a defilement, right? This is also defilement, you know, defiling oneself for the dead. So here we see how the whole nation mourned for Aharon for 30 days. So I'm comparing this here also with His Majesty's autobiography, where it's interesting, before he was king, only crown prince, right, as Ras Tafari Mekonnen, how he was reminding the church of the scriptures, of HaTorah, and what was rightful according to their duty, right? So we see a pattern in a pattern. Remember, Jehovah was going to destroy the Israelites who had blasphemed and slandered the Afro-Canaanite land, that Tobiah, that good land, you know. Let's move forward right here. Now, while Yisrael was still in a state of mourning over Aharon, over Aaron. So while they were still mourning in that 30-day, we could say, period of time, right, or perhaps near the fulfillment of that solar month, 30 days of the solar month, 28 days of the lunar month, right, a Canaanite, Afro-Canaanite king named Arad, he decided the time was right to attack Yisrael, kill them before they grow, right? His campaign was initially successful. Oh, a note here, too. Here we are moving to the new generation. I want to note that right here. Here we're moving, the old generation is dying off, right? Those who Jah had brought out of Egypt or out of Mitzrayim, the head carpenter, he was not pleased to bring them in to the promised land, right? Because he knew more than anyone else that the promised land state of mind was not in their hearts and minds. Right? What's not right here? What doesn't fit here? Right? So that generation that was brought out of Egypt, he was not pleased with to bring them in. But it was their children, right? It was their children, the next generation, right, that would have that right to enter. This was bringing up this scripture right here. This is like Psalm 95. When you read Psalm 95 and we get to verse 7, for he is Eloheinu, our power, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Not other people's sheeple or other people's pasture people, but of Eloheinu, our Elohim. Shema Yisrael, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Here it says, today if ye, y'all, will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So here we get the connection right here, right? When we read this in the King James Version, that's the read, just to compare and contrast from the Hebrew here, Psalm 95, right? Here it says, harden not your heart as at Meribah, Meribah. King James Version says, harden not your heart as in the provocation, Meribah. Now, Meri, right, Meri, interesting, in the Hebrew we have the sense of bitter and the sense of, like, bitter ones. Ones becoming embitter is the word that's used for rebelling. So we have Meribah. As in the day of Massa, Massa. KJV says, as in the day of temptation. So here the Hebrew terms Meribah, referring to the provocation, and Massa, referring to the temptation,
Bamidbar, right? Bamidbar, right? In the wilderness. And goes on. When your fathers, your patriarchs, it doesn't say your fathers and your mothers, your parents, no. It's specifically zooming in on the patriarchy, right? Jah is reproving the Israelite patriarchy, right? So even Jah was saying to I and I, black man, that we have to be better fathers, but also better sons. When your fathers tempted me, tempted I, proved me, proved I, and saw my work for 40 years, 40 years long, was I grieved with this generation. This generation, note the tune, Rosh Shiloh tune, this generation. 40 years was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. Get that? Where is the people's error? We would think it's error. We talk about other areas, the nine areas of people activity. Well, yeah, we err there too. But it's because of, as the word says here, we err in heart. Now, the heart, Hebraically, the lab, the lib, lebab, also refers to the mind state, right? A state of mind. We do err, right? We miss the mark. We fall short, right, in our mind state. And they have not known my ways, knowing Yahweh, truth and life of the King of Kings, Moshiach, to whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter, that they should not enter into my rest. So we're speaking about the land of promise. This is the resting place of the B'nai Yisrael, the Beta Israel journey through the Midbar, through the wilderness. And here with I and I through this fourth book of Moses known as the book of Numbers called Bamidbar in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 9 says, For y'all are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 9 says, For you all are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance that Yahweh, Yahuwah, your Elohim, giveth thee. Now, the Psalm 95, which is the first of the six Psalms of the Kabbalat Shabbat on the Shabbat Eve, right? We have Psalm 95, and there's an abrupt ending to the chant, to the Isis, to the praises here, with the words, I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. This sets in relief the stern warning directed by implication against those who were now standing, right, at the entrance of the Heikal, the temple. So these psalms and the Psalms of David in later times was used as the liturgy in the Holy Temple, the First Temple and the Second Temple times. So this can also apply to I and I in the wilderness here of this north country of the Americas and the Caribbean. So the warning against disobedience, the last part of Psalm 95, it lines up perfectly here with this Torah reading and feeding here in the fourth book of Moses, here for this Shabbat Hukat, Sabbath ordinance, Sabbath statute. So here we have the Israelite, a new generation, right? A new generation is under attack from an Afro-Canaanitish king named Arad. Arad felt, well, you know, rumors, they must spread in the wilderness. You know what I mean? Gossip must get around. So somehow these other tribes and people, they must have learned or got to know somehow by surveillance or observation or somebody snitching, whoever. Hey, the Israelites are mourning. You know, Aaron, you know, Brother Moshe, their leader, he's dead, and people are really sad about that. Okay, this must be a good time to attack them. You know, almost like the Yom Kippur War, right? His campaign was initially successful, and his army even took some of the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, as captives. However, the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, and we're speaking about a new generation. So here we have pushed it 38 years later, and a new generation of Bnei Yisrael is on the rise. And this new generation made a vow, a neder, right? A neder, a vow to Yahweh, Yahweh, and they promised, they gave their yea, yea, and their amen, amen, to utterly destroy, downstroy the Kanaanu, the Canaanites, and their plunder. The counterattack of this new generation of Israelites, the new generation on the rise, the new generation on the march, the counterattack against the Canaanitish attack was successful. And Arad and his armies and all of his cities were completely annihilated. See, that's what it means to pay your vow. If you say, oh, Jah, if you do this for I will give this, I will do this for the I, then when you receive the word, you know, what your word sound was, fulfill your word, because word is bond, and the bond, the bounds of life. So what we have here is a generation gap between the old generation that came out of Egypt, that Jah brought out, but he being not pleased with them, and they obviously not pleased with he who be who he be, wandered to death in the wilderness. But their children, who they said would be a prey to the Africanites, they are getting to go up, and this is their first march here against the Canaanites, King Arad. Now, after leaving Mount Hor to go around the land, they had to go around the land of Edom, of Edom. The people grew impatient, Israelites. And another rebellion was brewing. Oh, my gosh. 38 years later, right? Talk about a revolution. But see, we had so many revolutions, right? You know what I mean? Like, just amongst ourselves. You over that? It's easy for black folks to have revolutions among their own selves, you know, to revolt against themselves. But it seemed to be hard to do that against the outer, so-called, the outer enemy. This time, the people murmured not only against Moshe, but against Yahuwah Jehovah Atzmo himself. Consequently, Yahuwah Jehovah, he sent seraphim. He sent burning serpents, right? The seraphim, the burners. Jah sent burners on them, or burning serpents, seraphim, that bit Ha'am, the people, and many of the people dead up. The people confess their sin, their uckery, their falling short, their lack, their missing the mark, and they appealed. So, see, people are getting the idea. They appealed to Moshe for help, who then interceded on their behalf. Ha'el, Ha'elahim, the Almighty, then instructed Moshe to make a figure of a snake, a nahash, and to mount this figure of the nahash, of the serpent, of the snake, to mount it on a pole so that, quote, everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, when he sees it, shall live. So here, the portion here, 39 sabbatical study for this Rastafari Shabbat Strong, it continues, right, with details about the route, right, the route or the route through the what's called the Transjordan, including a song that Israel sang a song about the miraculous well of water given to them in the Midbar. Now, just take note right here, often this is connected even at Pesach time with the well of Miriam, with the well of Big Sis, right, Hebrew sister Miriam. You know, there is the well of Miriam and also the chalice. There's the chalice of Miriam. The connection is often made here concerning the death of Miriam, concerning how the people thirsted right after her death, and then how later on when the people dug, you dig? You know, they were able to find this water here, the miraculous well of water given to them in the Midbar. Moshe then led the people in battles. They had battles and wars against the Amori kings, Sihon and Og, who had powerful, strong kingdoms, governments, east of the Jordan, right, or what they call the Jordan River. After these two climatic battles, Yisrael, Yasharallah, journeyed to the wastelands of Moab. And here in the Moabite regions, right, the Moors, right, the Moorish Zionist temple of Moorish Jews, here in the Moabite regions, they were poised to cross the Yarden, the Jordan, and to capture Jericho, or the city of the moon. So here, a basic overview right here. Brothers and sisters, we have preliminary questions and some more basic to advanced questions here, but we'll pick up with that as we move forward from here. Yes, yes, yes.
It's my youth.
We have a psalm right here, Psalm 48.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Yes, like the Israelites in the wilderness then, even with I and I, once lost, now found now. It's those burners, it's burning.
Jamka production. What it is? Rise the old nation. Jamka man. Alongside nature man. Be the villain one. That's about 10 government. This is the man.
Every time we keep the fire blazing.
Judgment from Babylon.
Every day we burn them fire. We burn them fire Babylon.
Come on.
Every time we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon.
Oh, when me look at me see pagan, look at the great tribulation, look at my world is Satan, me have to call unto the Almighty One, check the song. Oh, when me look at me see pagan, look at the great tribulation, look at my world is Satan, me have to call unto the Almighty One, tell the song. Say the Lord, I'm lighting him my salvation. In a God me trust, me not fear no man. And Jesus said, it's a the dirt that fear I stand. And all along I think in sand. Jump, come on.
Every time we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon.
Judgment.
Every time we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon. Jump, come on, outside Ninja Man with new collaboration. Number one in a radio station. Sky, I don't know that a real foundation. Celebration, boom. Bad side leaders, they pull up selector. We didn't come again, that's a lyrical culture. We no like bad man, we burn Babylon. Tell the whole of them a must understand.
Jump, come on.
Every time we keep the fire blazing.
Hot.
Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon.
Listen, Islam.
Every time we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon.
Balls, fire bad blood. Burn Babylon now with them one heart of God. Balls, fire bad blood. Burn Babylon, show them love away with them yellow balls. Fire bad blood. Burn Babylon now with them one heart of God. Balls, fire bad blood. Burn Babylon, show them love away with your understand. Burn Babylon now with them destruction. Burn Babylon with fornication. Burn Babylon now with them contention. Burn Babylon now with them confusion.
Every time we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon. Every time we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon.
Every time
we keep the fire blazing. Every day we burn them fire, we burn them fire Babylon.
Burn Babylon
every time we keep the fire blazing.
every day. We burn them fire, we burn them fire, Babylon.
Burn Babylon with them foolishness. Burn Babylon with them wrong direction. Burn Babylon with them fornication. Burn Babylon where you worship Satan. Burn Babylon with every test. When it comes to fire, no ask about ninja man. When it come here teaching nation, teach you right and me teach you what's wrong. And I'm ball fire, fire bad blood. Burn Babylon now with them when not a blood. Ball fire, fire bad blood. Burn Babylon show them love. Oi, where them a see Babylon man take the earth from the meek.
Yeah,
the sound a come from east Babylon and west, and the summer come from north and south.
And chop, come on, ninja mind right there, fire blazing. Here, here again, this is Blaze More Fire, the evening psalm here. We got Psalm 11, today's daily psalm. Stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned. More fire, more fire.
Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. And I said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Yes, yes, so that was the overview right there, synopsis of the first of this double portion, Chukat, statutes or ordinances regarding the Paraduma, the red heifer, the red hasor, and then we have Balak. But here, let's just catch up on some of this double portion readings right here. We have Psalm 11 coming forward, but for this double portion.
For this side.
for this double force, 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 double force.
And hear, Shema, Israel. Give ear right here for the Hamishi, Aliyah, offering up an Afora for this Shabbat Chukat here at verse 23, Numbers chapter 20, verse 23, for the Hamishi, the fifth Aliyah for this Shabbat Chukat. And here we're at the death of Aharon, the death of Aaron for the Hamishi Aliyah. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 20, verse 23, for the Hamishi Aliyah. Vayisu mikadesh vayabou b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edah hor ha'har 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 and the children of Yisrael, even the whole congregation journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. Vayisu mikadesh vayabou b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edah hor ha'har. Verse 22, Numbers chapter 4, Numbers chapter 20, verse 22, actually for the Hamishi Aliyah, and here at verse 23, the death of Aaron. And the Yahweh spake to Moshe and Aharon in Mount Hor, and the Yahweh spake to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aharon shall be gathered to Ammo, to his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given to the Bnei Yisrael, to the sons, the children of Yisrael, because ye all rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aharon and Eleazar, his son, Beno, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aharon of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, Beno, his son. And Aharon, Aaron, shall be gathered to his people, and shall die there. And Moshe did as Yahweh commanded, and they went up, Aliyah up, into Mount Hor, in the sight of all the congregation, the aggregation. And Moshe stripped Aharon of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aharon died there, in the top of Hahar, the top of the mount. And Moshe and Eleazar came down from Hahar, from the mount. And when all the congregation, the aggregation, saw that Aharon, that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aharon, for Aaron, 30 days even. All the Beit Yisrael, all the Beit Yisrael, all, even, all the house of Yisrael. Fourth book of Moshe, Moses' Hebrew book, that's called Numbers, chapter 21, the march of Israel. The march of Israel. First item, victory. And when King Arad, the Canaanites, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel and Israel vowed a vow, La Yahuwah, to Jehovah and said, if thou, the I, wilt indeed deliver, I deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And Yahweh Jehovah heard, hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Yam Suf, by the way of the Eterah Bahir, the Eritrean Sea, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of Ha'am, of the people, was discouraged because of the way. The march of Israel, the march of Israel, second item, the serpent of brass. Compare and contrast Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Here, Numbers chapter 21. Here at verse 5, the march of Israel. Second item, the serpent of brass. And Ha'am, the people, spake against Elohim, the true good, the true God, and against Moshe, against Musa, against Moses. Wherefore have y'all brought us, I and I, up to Aliyah, Mimitzrayim, out of Kemet, out of Egypt, to die by Midbar in the wilderness, the wilderness, for there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul, our psyche loathes this light bread. And the Yahweh sent seraphim, fiery serpents, among Ha'am, the people. And they bit Ha'am, the people, and much enough people of Israel died. Therefore Ha'am, the people, came to Moshe, to Moses, and said, we have sinned. We have acted up. For we, I and I, have spoken against Yod-Heh, Weh-Heh, the Yahweh, against Jehovah, and against thee. I pray, La Yahuwah, to Jehovah, that he take away the seraphim, take away the serpents, Nahashim, from I and I. And Moshe prayed for Ha'am. And the Yahweh said to Moshe, Moses, make the eye a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Oto Wahai. Why Ya'as Moshe Nechash Nechoshet Va'ishamehu al hanes V'hayayima nashak ha nahash et isha v'hiyabita ila nahasha ha nahasheta v'hayi. And Moses, Moshe, made a serpent of brass. V'yasa Moshe nechash nechoshet, and Moshe made a nechash nechoshet, a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he
Fiction tree there, but Jesus Christ the crucified. You see,
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elohenu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong, 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 Shabbat strong.
Wira oto wahai wayas Moshe ne hash ne choshet wa ishamehu al hanes we hayaima nashak ha nahash et isha v'hiyabita ila nechasha hanchosheta v'hayi. And Moses, Moshe, made a serpent of brass. V'yasa Moshe nechash nechoshet. And Moshe made a nechash nechoshet, a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass,
He lives. Shema Israel. Here. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book, called Numbers, chapter 21. Here, at Numbers chapter 21, verse 10, for the Sheshi, Aliyah, the sixth offering up, the sixth Anafor, for this Shabbat, Chukat, is Senbet, Yehigu Tizaz Yihno, for this Shabbat, Chukat, Shabbat, Sabbath statutes. Sabbath ordinances. Here, Numbers chapter 21, here at verse 10, for the Sheshi Aliyah, the sixth Aliyah, sixth Aliyah, sixth Aliyah, sixth Aliyah, sixth Aliyah, sixth Aliyah, sixth Aliyah. Vayisa'u b'nei Yisrael, vayachnu and the children of Israel, the Bnei Israel, set forward. Vayisa'u Bnei Israel. And pitched. Vayachnu in obot. Be obot. And they journeyed from Obot, and pitched at Yeabari in the wilderness, which is before Moab, toward the sun rising. From there, they removed and pitched in the valley of Zared. On the other side of Arnon, which is Bamidbar, in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. For Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Yahweh, what he did in the Yam Suf, what he did in the Etara Bahir, what he did in the Eritrean Sea, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the streams of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar, and lieth upon the borders of Moab. And from there, they went to Be'er, that is the well whereof the Yahweh spake to Moshe, gather Ha'am, the people, together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing y'all to it. The princes digged the well. The nobles of Ha'am, of the people, digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness, the Midbar, they went to Matatana. And from Matatana to Nahaliel. And from Nahaliel to Bamot. And from Bamot, in the valley that is in the country of Moab, to the top of Pisgah, which looketh toward Jeshimon.
Shema.
Hear
for the Shabi'i, the Shabi'i, Aliyah, the seventh Aliyah, 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 Aliyah. Offering up anaphora for this Shabbat Chukat. Hear. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book that's called Numbers, Numbers 21:21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 21, for the Shabi'i, the Shabi'i, Aliyah, the seventh Aliyah, and now for offering up for this Senbet, Yehigutizaz, Yehino, for this Shabbat, Shabbat Chukat. Here picking up at verse 21, Numbers chapter 21. Vayishlach Yisrael. Malakim illa Sihon Meleka ha emori lemor. The march of Israel, the third item, two victories. And Israel sent messengers. Vayishlach Israel Malakim to Sihon, king of the Amorites, El Sihon Meleka Haimori, saying, Lemor, let me pass, make I pass through thy land. We, I and I, will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards, the vineyards. We, I and I, will not drink of the waters of the well, but we, I and I, will go along by the king's highway until we, I and I, be past thy borders. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people, Amor, together and went out against Israel into the Midbar, into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and possessed his land from Arnon to Yabok, to Jabbok, even to the children of Ammon. For the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof, for Heshbon was the city of Sihon, the king of Ha'emori, of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his hand, even to Arnon. Wherefore, they that speak in Proverbs say, come to Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared, for there is a fire gone out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It hath consumed Ar of Moab, and the lords of the high places of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab, thou art undone, O people of Chemosh. Chemosh, he hath given his sons that escape and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, Melech Ha'emori, king of the Amorites. We have shot at them. Heshbon is perished even to Dibon, and we, I and I, have laid them waste even to Nophah, which reacheth to Medeba. Thus, like this, Israel dwelt in the land of Ha'emori of the Amorites. And Moshe sent to spy out Jaazir, and they took the villages thereof and drove out Ha'emori, the Amorites that were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan and Og. The king of Bashan went out against them, he and all Amor, his people, to the battle at Edrei. And Yahweh, Jehovah, said to Moshe, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all Amor, his people, and his land, and thou, the eye, shall do to him as thou didst to Sihon Melech Haemori, Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all Amor, his people, until there was none left him alive. And they possessed his land. Fourth book of Moshe, Hebrew book, that's called Numbers, chapter 22, chapter 22, the march of Yisrael. Fourth item, Balaam. Compare and contrast 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, Jude, verse 11, Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. And the Bnei Yisrael, the children, the sons of Israel, set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Yarden, Jordan, by Jericho, And thus completes the reading from HaTorah for this Shabbat Chukat, Senbet Yehigutizaz Yehidno, Kubur Lekalu, Kubur Redimtsu, Kubur Lehailu. Glory to the Word, glory to the Sound, glory to the Power, Kubur Lebinu, Lemelkeinu, glory be to Ainai Father, Ainai King, Kubur Lekadamawi, Haile Selassie, glory be to the first power of the Trinity, Beshem, Yeshua, HaMoshiach, in the name of Getachna, Medhanantach, in the name of Jesus Christos, Amen.
Of a mighty man, tenacity of soul, the gritting of the teeth of the spirit-inspired warrior, and the bearing of those teeth to the enemy. Kasak is possessing a resolute and growling resolve for the glory of God, a flush of spiritual fervor, a tensing of all a soldier's muscles. There's a Kasak. We don't have that spiritually. We should. We don't. Because we don't know what we're engaged with. Did you know that you have the armory of heaven? That you have everything you need for life and godliness to push the enemy forces back? And so when you hear a sock, your knuckles spiritually should immediately turn white, and you should find yourself gritting your spiritual teeth with a belligerence against the enemy. He goes down. There are souls that must be saved. And that's just kasak. The Hebrew statement is brak kasak. However, in the Bible, where that came from, it's kasak emos. The other word that goes with it, emos. It's heavenly audacity. It's rushing headlong into the most hazardous and impossible battles without pausing to consider the impossibilities. Who had emos in the Bible? David against Goliath? That's some serious emos.
Okay, he's rushing headlong against the Goliath. It's like, David, you might want to think about this a little. No, I'm not weighing the impossibility. This is for my God. It's a confidence in victory even before the field is taken. It's lambs moving with liquid ferocity straight into the lion's lair. How about the three that overheard him in the cave of Adullam? Says, oh, for a cup of cool water from the well of Bethlehem. Those guys had him off. He'll run out, break through a garrison of Philistines to grab a cup of cool water and then bring it back through the garrison. They're being hunted by Philistines the whole time trying not to spill a cup of water. That's the moth. Mere men and women on earth are eaten up by the enemy. However, we're not just mere men and women of this earth. We are redeemed. We are bought with a price, and we have been changed into the body of Christ. A moth means swift-footed, all-believing, super-conquering, prevailing faith in the Lord of battles. What happens to the world if Christians once again get kasak and amatz? You know what the apostles had after Pentecost? Something came into them. What was it? You can say it very simply. Kasak and amatz. Spirit of God. He came in to win. He came in to turn this world on its head. Moses' last gasp. This is his great speech before the promised land, which he never got to enter into. And he's laying out the ground rules for the kingdom that is about to be established across that Jordan River. Be strong and of good courage. Kasak, amatz. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Kasak, amatz. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Well, what's happening there? The men and women of God are coming to take what was purchased, the promise. You are surrounded by 31 hostile empires. You know, that's what they were headed into. 31 empires on the other side of that Jordan River. 31. This is where we are at the Church of Jesus Christ, yet we are there without a war cry. Let's understand that we are out to win for the glory of Jesus Christ. And even if we die, we win. Doesn't matter what happens to our bodies. We obey, God wins. Now suddenly we're crossing. Joshua, the same name for Jesus in the New Testament, by the way. Yeshua. This is the Savior, the man of salvation, who has come in to bring us into the inheritance. Be strong and good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Rock to sock. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Rock, Kasak, Israel. Rock, Kasak, men and women of God Almighty. All the powers of earth and hell that come against your soul, and all the powers of earth and hell that are puppeteering the lost masses, you hit them square in the teeth. And you show love to this world. To anyone who would spit in your face, you serve them and you love them in return and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Rock, Kasak, Israel.
Be strong, be strong, be strong, and of a good courage. Even for I and I in this time, to be strong, be firm, even firm in I and I knowledge. So we're going through the Torah readings and feeding. Some people think, oh, Rastafari Jews, and because you're Rastafari Jews, you're copying after Judaism. You're confused in two different things. Things that are similar are not necessarily the same. Right. In fact, on that point, stay tuned, family, those who check out the Rastafari Jews channel right there. You say, well, why we use Rastafari Jews? And you say, we the black Jews. Because it's a political battle of I and I ancestors. Yes, a political battle. And it's because we dismiss these things that one generation and then the next one find themselves battling the same things without a victory or even a coming close to victory sometimes by the previous generations.
You know, we play that AWOL game. You know what I mean? Where it says when the tough get going, when the going gets rough, the tough get going. So we have to continue going forward, even in our studies, study to show ourselves approved. The whole idea of Judaism is a Eurocentric sense. So, yeah, some things that we study and research might be labeled Judaism. You know, it's almost like Egyptian archaeology. How many Africans and African nations really control any of that today? But we say that that's the root of we black peoples and ancient peoples and from ancient times. But that is under the purview of others. Doesn't mean that everything they put out is necessarily wrong, but it means that we need to have a critical analysis of it and also check for those interpretations. You know what I mean? Like often in contractual law, they say it's the fine print, looking at the fine print. So our studies here is looking at the fine print, right, of our way as it has gotten, how can you say, co-opted. They call it cultural appropriation. Don't they call it that? Here, 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 it's war, right? Until the philosophy.
teachings of His Majesty. One of the main teachings is that the most vital resource of a nation is its people. So numbers corresponding in this, some might say 401st, I call it year one, after 400 years. So the
These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men. Each one was for the house of his fathers. Each one was for the house of his fathers, 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 for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel, forth to war in Israel, forth to war in Israel, forth to war in Israel. Would all that were able to go forth to war and 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 go would all that were able to go forth to war and go forth to war in Israel, to war in Israel.
Here we have today's daily psalm. We have psalm 9 according to the royal order of Ethiopian Hebrew.
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
Today's daily psalm is a song of steadfastness, firmness, steadfastness. Here. Look over view right here. Yes, sir.
Oh, shalom, brothers and sisters. Took a little Selah moment. A pause. Pause for Jacques. And Jacques is a very good cause. Oh, shalom, brothers and sisters. Took a little Selah moment. A pause. Pause for Jacques. And Jacques is a very good cause indeed, in word and in deed. So we have Chabarim. According to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, we have Psalm XI, Psalm 11, for today's daily psalm, according to the royal order, after the order of Melchizedek, the righteous king, the king of kings. As I weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, Kedemawi, Haile Selassie has revealed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. So here, today's psalm, Psalm 11, a song of steadfastness, a song of steadfastness. Lamnat Eyach le David, for the leader, for the chief musician of David. Often, as it put in italics, in many Bibles here has brackets, a psalm. What's implied there is a mizmur, though it's not said as a mizmur in the subscription instead. Lamnat Eyach le David, a song, right, of steadfastness, Psalm 11, for the chief musician. Lamnat Eyach le David, of David, of the well-beloved. By Yahuwah, Ha Siti, Ain, Tomru, Le Nafshi. In he who be who he be, by Yahuwah, by Yahweh, by Yahuwah, in he who be who he be, Ha Siti, have I taken refuge? Ain, Tomru, Le Nafshi. In he who be we be have I taken refuge. If then David adopted, and I adopts the advice to escape by flight, it would appear that he had doubts of Jah's ability or willingness to shield him. Now, the setting of this particular psalm is similar to that of the fifth psalm, or the V psalm, the fifth psalm, and the VII, the seventh psalm. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 11. It is a time of danger for the psalmist, and his life is threatened. Friends, how many of us have them? Right? Friends, they advise him to seek safety in flight, in fleeing. But he stands, David stands his ground. Stand your ground. He stands his ground because he has confidence in the divine protection. Now, this psalm, today's daily psalm, Lamnat Seyach LeDawid, for the leader, the chief musician of David. The psalm, it seems to fit in best with what is told in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 18, Chavarim. So take a note, 1 Samuel chapter 18. What's written there fits into the historical sense, right, of the context of this psalm, Psalm 11, and it supplements the historical narrative. When Saul's obsession became apparent, Saul's OCB, obsessive compulsive behavior, Shaul's obsession with and against David became apparent, it is natural to suppose that David received advice to flee. David remained, however, at the king's court. Now, this is very, very interesting. I hope ones and ones will take the time if ones don't know the particular context, because David here is at King Saul's court. This is very interesting because David is anointed. He is the anointed. But also in contextually, we have Saul, too, as the Lord's anointed. So David chooses to remain at the king's court until after the second attempt, upon David's life flopped. They failed, but they made the second attempt against David's life. His wife, right, his wife, she persuaded him to go. David's wife, we're not talking about Bathsheba at this time, but David's wife, she persuaded him to go. His feelings in that crisis, right, because also it's a crisis, one can say, a crisis of faith, are here described, here. So we have Psalm 11, giving that context right there. And the first verse is that seven verses. Now, look at the previous psalm in the series, in the season, in the time. We had Psalm 104 for 35 verses. We're going to seek to just focus on these seven precious verses right here, brothers and sisters, and ride up. Yes, I. Mekana Ali on these verses here. So we have a song of steadfastness, of firmness, right, being firm. Right, being firm, not just in a kind of outer sense. You know, it's not just about looking tough. He speaks to his soul. He's concerned with his soul. What is the soul? The soul is the seat of, you know, the feelings, the emotions, the desires, the affections, the active will, and the self. What is the soul? Right? See, when we speak about the soul, we're speaking in the sense of the nefesh. Right? So we have this term here again, le nafshi. Like Barki Nafshi, bless, oh my soul, bless Baruch, Barki, right? Barki, speaking directly to her, to the soul, Barki Nafshi et Yahuwah, bless he who be who he be, oh she, speaking to the soul. So may she, the soul, bless he who be who he be. So we're speaking about the spiritual double helix, right? Getting above and beyond just the lower, we can say, manifestation in terms of gender, in the sense of genital, and getting into the energetics, the vibration. Let's understand this. So here, the key word here is nafshi, right? Nafshi, my soul, I soul, the nefesh. By Yahuwah, chasiti ein tomru le nafshi nodu. Harkem Sipor Nodu Harkem Sipor. In he who be who he be have I taken my refuge. Bayahwa Hasiti How Ain Tomru Le Nafshi. How say ye to Nafshi, to my soul, to the seat of my affections, my emotions, my desire, my act of will, my sense of self, to my suke, you know, my psyche. How do you say this? Ein tomru le nafshi. Flee thou, nodu, harkem, sipor. Flee thou to your mountains, ye birds. Remember the sipor, sipora, Moshe's Ethiopian, Midianite, you know, Ethiopian Hebrew, Midianite wife, Isha. Sipor, which is refers to a little bird, a small bird, something the twitterer bird, right? To my soul, when my life is endangered, flee thou. Now, according to the kere, the verb is feminine singular, apparently in agreement with soul. The ketub is plural, so we said nodu, right? So some might say nodi in that sense. That the ketub, what is written, is the plural, nodu, addressed to David and his close associates, to David and the Havarim. right? His chavrutas, his brothers, chavruta, bruta, his brothers, right? The chavarim, his close associates who shared his peril because it was coming after David and whoever was his associates. The plural is retained in the suffix of your mountains, harkem. Har mountains kem, your mountains, right? Your mountain, right? Which makes it preferable to regard ye birds, in Hebrew collective singular, as the subject of the verbs, which translates flee your birds, flee your Twitter, and then there was Twitter, so it's a little Twitterer bird, Twitter, like we have Twitter, the sipor, like sipara, sipor, right? So it says, no do, har kem, the sipor, flee thou to your mountains, ye birds, or flee to the mountains, flee the mountains, ye birds. Timorous and defenseless birds, they supply a graphic figure for the victims, the tzipor. Notice the connection with Moshe's wife, Tzipora, right? The twitterer, the small bird, the timorous, afraid, defenseless birds. This is a graphic picture for the victims of downpression, of the ops, of persecution, and the wretchedness, who have no resource but to flight. Not fight, but to flight to your mountains. To where? To the caves. In the sides of the mountains, there was offered ideal hiding places. Ideal hiding places. For lo, look, the wicked bend the bow. They have made ready their arrow upon the string that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. In this and the next verses, we have the language in which the friends, David's friends, they counsel him. David's friends, they are counseling him. For look, the wicked are bending their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. At you, David, your companions. Shoot in darkness. Shoot from a dark place where they lurk. At who? Who are they shooting at? The upright. The upright in heart. The intended victims are innocent in God's sight, in truth and right. When the foundations are destroyed, what hath the righteous wrought? In other words, if the foundation be destroyed, the KJV translates that, it's like that. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are destroyed, ki hashatot, ye ha-re-sun, tzadik, ma-pa'al, what can the righteous work? What can they do if the foundations are destroyed? Society, the machaber society, the society is like a building. It's like a building, jar house in the middle of Yesai, in the camp. Society, like a building, it rests upon foundations. And should these be undermined or compromised, there is likelihood of a collapse. The pillars of society, you know, the pillars of society are law, Jalot, Torah, and justice, which have been flouted by the men and the people, right, whose duty it was to uphold them. And in this context with David, with the well-beloved, the kind, David, and I, it was the king, Saul, King Shaul, and his counselors. What have the righteous wrought? What can the righteous do? There were men in the kingdom who were righteous. There still were men even in Saul's regime and Saul's government. There were men and ones and ones who were tzaddik, who were righteous, tzaddik. But they did nothing. See, one can be righteous. Remember we saw that about Abraham, right? Abraham, and we spoke about Lot, or Lot. Lot was a righteous man, but he was a passive righteous man. Abraham was an active righteous man. So we have righteous ones in the kingdom, tzaddik, but they don't do nothing. They do nothing, right, to protest against the lawlessness of the ratchet, even the ratchet rulers. They do nothing. They say nothing. They do nothing. Consequently, a violent death could only be averted by escape. See, David stayed. So this is the context on it. Why did David stay? Why would one stay? Was he just a glutton for something? Is this the reason why he stayed? No. He stayed because, right, see the connection's right here. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The tzaddik, ma pa'al. What can they do? What can they work? What work can they work? You understand? What work can they work if there's no foundation? What's the foundation? What's the foundation? Society, like a building, it rests upon foundations, right? And the pillars of society are law, jalaw, right, and justice. This is why we study Chavarim, even in the LOJ, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah Society of Imperial Majesty, because the foundation is the foundation. The foundation is Jalor, right? The law
and to the testimony. If they speak not like this, it's because there's no light, there's no illumination. Right? There's no light in that, but you'll speak like this. Right? As Abino Melkeinu, Kamaru Halasalasi, Father and I, King said to I and I, for my part, I glory in the Bible. So the foundation, the pillars of society are law and justice. So the righteous one in the kingdom, but they did nothing. They did nothing. They did nothing. They did nothing, right, to protest even. They did not even protest the ratchetness and the lawlessness that was going on. See, so David no doubt might have thought that, well, you know, there's righteous ones in this kingdom. And because there's righteous ones in this kingdom, ones recognize that this is wrong. And because ones and ones recognize that this is wrong, no doubt this is not going to go on. Other people see what's going on here, don't they? Well, don't they? Can they see? Do they see? Do they even care to see? And this is where the connection here with the consequence, right? You know, with the consequence of them looking on, right? With the consequence of them looking on and doing absolutely nothing, a violent death could only be averted, right? Could only be averted by escape, you know? By escape, you know? Got to get away. David had to get away, right? The Hebrew may also be rendered, what can the righteous, the tzaddik, who happen to be those innocent victims, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? They are helpless in such circumstances, in such situations, right? They are helpless in such circumstances, and they are helpless in such situations. So we have the first part, the first three verses, the seven verses in today's daily psalm, in Psalm 11. In the first three verses, it's what the friends, it's what David's friends, you know, what did his friends advise him? What was the advice of his friends? His friends advised him, right, to flight, to flee, right? And so we get some of the reasoning in the first three verses, right? Within the first three verses, we get some of the reasoning right there. And this brings us now to the concluding, right, four verses, right, 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? And here is David expressing his confidence, his eifidence, we say, his assurance, right, in Jah, right, his assurance in Hashem. He says right here in verse 4, he says, Yahuwah b'heikal kadisho, Yahuwah b'shamayim kiso'o, aynayo yehezu af apayo yibachenu b'nei Adam. Yivchenu b'nei Adam. He who be who he be. Yahuwah is in his holy temple. B'heikal kadesho. Yahuwah, he who be who he be. His throne is in heaven. Bashamayim kiso'o. His throne is in the heavens. His eyelids behold. Aynayo yechezu. His eyelids try the children of men. Afa apayo yibachenu b'nei Adam. He who be who he be. Jehovah is in his holy temple. B'heikal kadesho. That is the psalmist's reply to all that has been said by his friends, his acquaintances. This is David's reply. What is David's reply right here? David's reply is that Jehovah is in his holy temple. There is an Elohim, Ha Elohim in Shemayim, in the heavens, and he maintains the right. The temple here, some would interpret to stand for the heavens, all right? But then we recognize, even in the new and the living way, the temple. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple, if his Holy Spirit dwell in ye, and I and I and we? As we have in Psalm, we have Psalm 18 and 7, Psalm 29 and 9. His throne, kiso'ol, his throne of judgment. We have this in Psalm 9 and 5. His eyelids, af apayo. His eyelids, a forceful image. This is borrowed from what? Human action. Remember, he created man in his image and after his likeness. His eyelids try. When a person closely scrutinizes an object, he contracts his eyelids. Ha Elohim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, although enthroned in
Bashamayim, Bashamayim in the heavens, thoroughly examines the deeds of his creature upon earth because of his spark, his spirit in I. Yes, I. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. And he breaks forth the remoteness of the divine, the I-vine dwelling place, Bashamayim in the heavens, was never held to be incompatible with Hashem, with Jah's detailed da'at, the da'at, knowing the data, the real data, the da'at, the knowledge, the gnosis of what happens in the world. He is sometimes said, Jah is sometimes said to come down and dwell, look upon the actions of men. But from Hebraic thought in the scripture, we should recognize that even in and through our eyes, his eyes try. Yes, I, Rastafari. We have Psalm 18 and 10, verse 5. Yahuwah tzadik, yibahan. He who be who he be, trieth the righteous. He who be who he be, trieth the righteous. The righteous, the tzadik. We oheb Hamas. Sana'a nafsho. But the ratchet and him that loveth violence, we oheb Hamas. Him that loveth violence, sana'a nafsho. His soul, he who be who he be, his soul hateth. So here we have objective hatred. You see, with that subjective love of the King of Kings Christ, he trieth the righteous. Jah tests all men, all humanity, even, some might say, even especially the tzaddik, the righteous, and those who claim to be tzaddik, righteous. But when he approves of the tzaddik, the righteous, his protective care, Jah's guidance, the word, found power, and protection, itection care, is assured. This is interesting, that Jah's soul, he who be who he be, his divine majesty, his soul hateth who? But the wicked, we're Rasha'a, and him that loveth violence, we're Oheba Hamas, Sana'a Nafsho, his soul hateth. Again, we have this in Yeshaya, we have this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 14, the nature of Ha-Elohim, of the source, finds evil and ratchetness and loving violence loathsome, disgusting, whenever it occurs. It's principle over personality, principle. Upon the wicked, the ratchet, he will cause to rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Yam ter Allah Rishaim Pachim Eish fire with gafrit and brimstone with ruach zil afot and burning wind and a burning spirit with ruach zil afot and burning wind, right? In a sense, burning wind. Minat kosam shall be the portion, kosam, the minat, the portion of kosam, of their cup, of their chalice, of their cup, so to speak, their fate, coals, right? Upon the ratchet, he will cause to rain down coals. Yam ter al rishaim pachim, rain down coals, pachim, the pachim or fachim, fihim, bamarinya is the fihim, right? Fachim, paham, fihim, coals of fire, as happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. We have this in Bereshit, Genesis, the first book of Moses, Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Also compare that with Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, fire, eish. Hashem, Jah, uses the forces of nature, as his instruments. Get this, that Jah uses the forces of nature the nature, the Most High used the force of nature as his instruments for destroying and destroying the Rasha'im, the ratchet, the Rara, right, the wicked. It's the portion of their cup, the portion, Minat Kosam, their fate. Verse 7, Chabarim, to fulfill Psalm 11. I'm talking about the 11. One says, the 11. You know, one's talking about the 11 this, the 11 that. Well, this is Psalm 11, song of steadfastness, of firmness. Endure, right? Endure hardness. As the word says to I and I, to endure hardness. Right? As a good soldier. A good soldier in your army. All right, so we have verse 7 here. Now notice that the previous Psalm 104 that had the seven parts speaking about John the creator, Hashem HaElohim, the blameless creator. Here we have in Psalm 11 the seventh verse, song of steadfastness. Ki Tzadik Yahuwah. Tzedakot Oheb or Ahab. Tzedakot Aheb. Ahev, some say Ahev, Ohav, to love, Ahava, Ohava, right? Key, because, for Tzadik Yahuwah, for the righteous he who be, who he be, often translated for the Lord is righteous. But the real context of the Hebrew, Ki Tzadik Yahuwah, for he who be is Tzadik. He loveth righteousness. Tzedakot Ahev. Tzedakot Ahev, Ohev, Ahev. He loves tzedakot. He loves charitable acts. He loves acts of righteousness. Because Ki Tzadik Yahuwah, Tzedakot Ahev. The upright, Yashar, the upright shall behold his face. Yashar Yechezu Panem here is pointed as Fanem, his face, the face of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Yahuwah. Yashar Yechezu Fanemo. The upright shall behold Fanemo, his face. The Lord, he who be, who he be, Yahweh is righteous. Ki Tzadik Yahuwah, for righteous he who be, who he be. Tzedakot Ahev, he loveth righteousnesses, righteous acts, righteous dealings. Tzadik Yahuwah, righteous he who be, who he be. He who be, who he be is Tzadik. Because righteousness is part of the divine, the Ivine, the divine essence. It's part of the Essa. Some say the Essa, right? The Essa of the essence is part of the divine essence. The righteousness of man, of the human being, must win his approval. Must win his approval. The upright, the Yashar, here we have Yashar, right? Yashar also found within the inner meaning of Yisrael, Yasharel, the righteous, the upright, the Yashar, Yechezu, Fanemo. Yechezu, they will have the chazon, they will have the vision, for the vision, chazon, the people perish, the chazon, Yechezu, Yashar Yechezu, Fanemo, the righteous or the upright will behold his face. The jar-like, right, they say the godly, right, the goodly, are, so to speak, admitted into his presence, Fanemo, into his presence, into his face, right, into his perception. And enjoy his radiance, which is the true light that shines in every man, right? His radiance, whereas the evildoers, the habitual evildoers, the rah-rah and the ratchet, are banished into darkness. See, one's about the outer darkness, but that inner darkness, that disillumination, right? As chatiyat, as akri, right? Fornication on the crown of the king, fuckery, right? As akri, lack, missing the mark, chatiyat, it erects a barrier between man, the human being, and Ha Elohim, Baruchu Baruch Hashem, the source, goodness. Goodness is an attractive, a magnetic force. Goodness drawing the human being into closer contact and communion, right? And communication and communion with his maker, with the blameless creator. Song of steadfastness, Psalm 11. Kabur l'kalu, kabur l'dimsu, kabur l'haylu, glory to the word, sound, and power. Kabur l'abinu, l'malkeinu, glory be to thy Father, thy King, kabur l'kermawi, chayla salasi, glory be to the first power of the Trinity, that Shem Yeshua, HaMoshiach, in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, Amen, in the name of the King of Kings, Christ, Yesu Salam, Yeshua Shalom, 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 Yeshua Shalom.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
Rastafari, to look upon your pretty, pretty face. We want to walk the streets of glory, shining around your throne. So not the the Gentiles, them to come, run, come, look upon your pretty, pretty face. We are going home, going home, to seek in Rastafari.
Pull up that one, your justice. Hey, pull up this Rastafari, you know, man. It's hot.
But it's true.
David, my servant, shall be king over them. They all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Evermore. Evermore.
In the midst of them, in the midst of I and I hearts and I minds, his throne and I heaven, yes, I. Right here, the wise stays daily. Psalm, one more part right here, coming forward. Yes, I.
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. Wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
Mizmor Yud Aleph. למנצח
le David. Adonai hasiti, ech tomeru le nafshi, ludi archem tzippor. Ki hinne ha-resha'im yidrechun keshet, konenu chitzam al yeter, lirot bemo ofel leishre lev. Ki ha-shatot yeharesun, tzaddik ma pa'al. Adonai behechal kodsho, Adonai bashamayim kis'o, enav yehzu, af apav yifhanu bene adam. Adonai tzaddik, yifhan, verasha ve'ohev hamas, sane'a nafsho. Yamter al resha'im pachim, esh ve'gofrit, ve'ruach zil'afot, menat kosam. Ki tzaddik Adonai, tzedakot ahev, yashar yehzu fanemu.
Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain, for lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright.
Yes, 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 bless thy people. His eyes behold, his eyelids try. Prophecy fulfilled, prophecy still fulfilling. We have this raining, the coals of fire, brimstone, world war, right? We had the world wars. People have to put that into prophetic and real world historical context. The upright shall behold his face. In his times he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, Yesai, the Lord of Lords, the conquering line, the tribe of Judah. So when the righteous, you know, when those righteous started to go away from that righteousness, they no longer beheld his face. That's also prophecy right there. But his temple, you know, his temple, know ye not, you know, just so much right here in this today's daily psalm, seeing where we're at with the time right here. Let's just go to the second part, bring out a little bit of midrash right here, concerning the prophecy, the nations, the gathering of the nations, even the League of Nations. This is all direct biblical prophecy where you will gather all nations. When do we see all nations being gathered? In these latter days and times. And who is there in the midst? A revelation of he who be who he be is divine majesty.
Yam tir al rishayim pachin, 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 pachin. Upon the wicked he shall rain pachin, 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 pachin. Yam tir al rishayim pachin. Upon the wicked he shall rain pachin. Yamtir ala rishayim pachim. Upon the ratchet he shall rain pachim. Hear. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, Hebraically verse 6. That is quick burning coals, pachim. Quick living, lively burning coals. As in the phrase from Proverbs 26:21, as quick burning coals, pecham, are to live coals and wood to fire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, whoever exalts himself in pride will finally be punished in fire, as were the people of the generation of the flood. For it is said in Job 6:17, What time they are cut off, they vanish. In the fire thereof, they are consumed out of their place. So too, the people of the Tower of Babel were punished in fire. For it is said in Job, in Job 22 and 20, and their abundance the fire hath consumed, hath eaten up. And so too were the people of Sodom. For it is said in Bereshit, in Genesis 19:24, then Jehovah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire. And so too was Pharaoh. For it is said in Exodus 9:24, so there was hail and fire flashing up, very grievous, such as had not been in all the land of Mitzrayim, in all the land of Egypt, in all the land of Kemet, if you please. And so too was Sennacherib, for it is said, even in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 10 and 16, and under his magnificence, he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire. The phrase, under his magnificence, shows that Elohim, the true good, the true God, consumed Sennacherib with fire from within, but left the magnificence of his outer apparel unburnt, because Sennacherib belonged to the family of Shem. As it is said in Bereshit, in Genesis 10:22, the sons of Shem, Elam and Ashur, and so too was Sisera. For it is said in Judges 5:20, they fought from Shemaim, from heaven. The stars that are fire fought in their paths against Sisera. And so too was Nebuchadnezzar. For it is said in Daniel 3:22, the flame of fire slew these men. And so too was Edom. For it is said in Daniel 7:11, the beast was given to be burnt with fire. And so too were Gog and Magog, for it is said in Ezekiel 39:6, and I will send a fire on Magog. And so too the other heathen, Goyim, nations, for it is said in Isaiah 66 and 16, for in the fire will Jehovah punish all flesh. And so too was Hiram, for it is said in Ezekiel 28 and 18, therefore have I brought forth a fire from the midst of thee, of the eye. Another comment upon Yamtir al Rishaim Pachim, upon the ratchet, the wicked, he shall reign Pachim. Psalm, today's daily Psalm 11 and 6, that is, quote, sneers, end quote. As in the phrase in Proverbs, Mashal, Proverbs 7:23, as a bird hasteneth to the sneer, as a bird hasteneth to the pach, the sneer. Upon the wicked he will rain quick burning coals, fire and brimstone, and tempests and flames. Yamtir al Rishaim Pachim Eishawe Gafrita We Ruacha Zil Afota Menata Kosam. In this verse are enumerated the seven pyres of Gehenna, quick burning coals, 2, fire and brimstone, 2, tempest, 1, and flames, 2. Behold, hear the seven pyres of Gehenna. Yamtir al Rishaim Pachim Eish we Gafrit we Ruach Zil Afot. Fire and brimstone. Eish we Gafrit. This shall be the portion of their cup. Menat Kosam. Rav Yudan said, whenever a man smells brimstone, his soul, nafsho, she is destroyed. For Hanefesh, the soul, she knows that she will be punished in brimstone, as is said in Jeremiah, 18 and 17. I will distract them with an east wind. Menat Kosam, the portion of their cup. Menat Kosam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, will give the nations, the Goyim, the international community, the nations of the earth, of the earthly plane, four cups of punishment to drink. According to Psalm 75 and 9, for in the hand of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, there is a kos, a cup, with foaming wine. The dregs thereof, all the wicked, the ratchet of the earth shall drink. Babylon hath been a golden cup in Yahuwah, in Jehovah's yard, in Jehovah's hand, that made all the earth drunken, according to Jeremiah, 51 and 7. According to Jeremiah 25 and 15, it reads, take this kos, take this cup of the wine of fury, and cause all the goyim, all the nations, the international community, to drink it. And in today's daily psalm here, Psalm 11, verse 6, with ruach zil afot menat kosam, burning tempest shall be the portion of their cup. But Elohim will give the Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael, the sons of Israel, four cups, four chalices of deliverance, deliverance to drink. Psalm 16 and 5 reads, Yahuwah Jehovah is the portion of my cup, of I chalice. My cup, my chalice runneth over, Psalm 23 and 5. And I will lift up the chalice, the cup of deliverances, deliverances, victories, Psalm 116 and 13. This verse does not say, quote, deliverance, end quote, but deliverances, thus implying two cups. Ki etzadik Yahuwah tzedakota ahed. For the righteous Jehovah loveth a man of righteousness. Ki etzadik Yahuwah tzedakota ahed. For the righteous, he who be who he be, Yahuwah Jehovah, loveth a man of righteousness. Here, today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, here at verse 7. Rav Yehuda, Judah, the son of Rav, Simon, said, every craftsman hates the rivals in his craft. Not so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so the Holy One, blessed be He. The righteous Jehovah loveth a man of righteousness. Ki tzadik Yahuwah tzedakota aheb. What is meant by the end of the verse? Yashar yechezu fanim. What is meant by the end of the verse? The upright shall behold his face. Yashar yechezu fanim. It means that in the Olam Haba, in the time, the Iwa to come, seven companies will attend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. And which company is to be the foremost of these? The one beholding the face of the presence. The company of the upright. For it is said, the upright shall behold his face. Yashar yechezu fanim. Actually, the verse does not say panau, panau, his face, but panemo. Actually, the verse does not say fanau, fanau, fanayo, fanau, his face, but fanemo, their faces. That is, The upright will behold the face of the presence and the faces of his household, who, in the verse in Psalm 140 and 14, the upright shall dwell in the eye presence, in the eye face, in the eye perception, are likewise termed the upright. Another comment, rendered literally, the verse reads, as for the upright one, they shall behold each other's faces. Yashar yechezu fanemo. As for the upright one, they shall behold each other's faces. One should have expected the verse to say, quote, the upright ones shall behold each other's faces, end quote, or, quote, the upright one shall behold the face of each of them, end quote. What then is the meaning of the verse, as for the upright one, they shall behold each other's faces? Yashar yechezu fanemo. The upright ones shall behold the face of the upright one of the world, Yashar ha-olam. And the upright one of the world, Yashar ha-olam, shall behold the faces of the upright ones. For the upright is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Idol One, blessed be He, of whom it is said in Devarim, Deuteronomy 32 and 4, He is just and the upright. Another exposition. If the verse is read, as for the upright, their faces shall shine, Yashar yechezu fanemo. It means that the faces of the upright will become shining orbs in Shemaim, Shemaima, in the heavens, giving light to the earth, the earthly plane. It is the seven companies of the upright who will give light to the world. Their faces shining like the sun, like the moon, like the firmament, like the stars, like the lightnings, like Shoshanim, lilies, and like Lapidim, torches, like the sun, for it is said, even in Judges 5:31, but they that love him shall be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might, like the moon, for it is said in Psalm 89:37-38, his seed shall be established forever as the moon, like the firmament, for it is said in Daniel and Daniel 12 and 3, and they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, like the stars, for it is said, and they that turn the many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, for ever and ever, like the lightnings, for it is said, in Nahum 2 and 5, they run to and fro like the lightnings, like Shoshanim, the lilies, for it is said, for the leader, Lamanatseyach, al Shoshanim, upon Shoshanim, in Psalm 45 and 1, like Lapidim, like torches, for it is said in Nahum 2 and 5, the appearance of them is like lapidim, like torches. The first company of the upright will dwell in the presence of HaMelech, the king, even Negus Neges, the king of kings, and behold the face of HaMelech, the Negus. For it is said in Psalm 140:14, the upright shall dwell in thy presence, thy face, thy perception. And also in today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, here in verse 7, Yashar yechezu fanemo. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. The upright shall behold his face. The second company will dwell in the bait of HaMelech, of the Negus, even Negus and Neges, of the king, even the king of kings. For it is said in Psalm 84 and 5, happy are they that dwell in thy house, in Beit Tikah. The third company will ascend the mountain to meet HaMelech, the Negus, even Negus and Neges. For it is said in Psalm 24 and 3, who shall ascend into the mountain of Yahuwah, of Jehovah? The fourth company will dwell in the court of HaMelech of the Negusim and Negusim Neges. For it is said, happy is the man whom thou, the eye, choosest and bringest near, that he may dwell in thy courts, in Psalm 65 and 5. The fifth company will sojourn in the tent of HaMelech, the king, the Negus, even Negus Neges, for it is said in Psalm 15, verse 1, Yahweh, Jehovah, who shall sojourn in thy tent? The sixth company will dwell upon the holy mountain of HaMelech, of the king, the Negus, even Negus Neges, for it is said in Psalm 15, verse 1, who shall dwell upon thy holy mountain? The seventh company will stand in the holy place, the set-apart place of HaMelech, of the king, of the Negus, even Negus Neges, for it is said in Psalm 24 and 3, who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall stand in his Isla place? Thus, like this, each company shall have a dwelling place of its own in the Gan Ba'Eden, in the Ganeta Eden, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Delights. Over against the righteous, the ratchet shall have seven habitations in Gehenna, namely Sheol, the netherworld, the anti-repatriation state, Abaddon, destruction, Al-Mavet, the shadow of Mavet, the shadow of death, Eretz Tachtita, the underworld, Eretz Neshia, the realm of forgetfulness, Gachinom, and Duma, the realm of silence. Rav Lewi, Levi said, Duma is also called Chazar Mavet. Why is it called Chazar Mavet? Because it is a court, Chatzir, the Chatzir, for the spirits of the dead, the Mawet, the Mot, the Mavet. Although it looks like a building, it is in fact a courtyard encircled by a wall. In front of the courtyard runs a brook, and beyond the brook lies an open field. And every day at twilight, Duma lets the spirits out and they eat in the open field and drink at the brook. Thus, like this, when a mortal drinks water at twilight, he is robbing his dead kinsmen. Why is the guardian of the spirits called Duma? Because he guards Domemot, the silent, Domemot, the silent, who eat but do not speak. Even when they drink, the sound of their drinking is not heard. How does the spirit, the ruach, differ from ha-nefesh, the soul? The soul has the semblance of a butterfly. It is attached to a man's spine by a chain tied to its foot. When a man sleeps, his soul, nafsho, goes abroad and roams about on the earth, on the earthly plane. Hence come the dreams that a man sees. And so too, when a man is asleep, though he be called many times, enough times, he does not answer. But when he is touched, he answers forthwith. And when the time, the Iwa, comes for a man to depart from the olam, the world, the angel of death enters to take up nafsho, his soul, his psyche. Hanefesh, the soul, has the semblance of a kind of reed filled with blood, with smaller reeds distributed through the entire body. HaMelech, the angel, lays hold of the upper part of the reed and pulls it, but pulls it gently out of the body of the tzaddik, the righteous man, as though taking a hair out of milk. But out of the body of the rasha, the ratchet man, the wicked man, it is as though he was pulling tangled rope through a narrow opening. Some say it is like working a nail out of the gullet. Some say it is like pulling thorns out of fleece, or a crooked stick out of silk floss. Some say it is like pulling wool shearings out of thorns. Once HaMelech, the angel, draws HaNefesh, the soul, the psyche, out of a man's body, the man dies right away. But Ruho, his spirit, comes out and sits on the tip of the nose until the body begins to decay. As decay sets in, the spirit, the Ruach, weeping, cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, saying, Ribon Shel Olamin, Master of the Universe, the Iniverse, whither, where am I to be taken? Immediately, Doom takes the spirit and carries it to the courtyard of the dead to join the other Ruchot spirits. If the man was a tzaddik, a righteous, the words, quote, clear a place for clay, gale, gale, such and such, a tzaddik, a righteous man, are spoken before him, and he passes from dwelling place to dwelling place until he beholds the face of the presence. Therefore, it is said, Yashar Yechezu Fanim, the upright shall behold his face. In today's daily psalm, Psalm 11, here at verse 7. Behold, there are seven habitations for HaTzadik, the righteous, and seven habitations for HaRasha, the ratchet. For the ratchet, according to their walks, and for the righteous according to their works. Yashar Yechezu Fanemo, the upright shall behold his face. The sages say that during a time of religious, spiritual persecution, a decree was issued for the hanging of Hosea ben Yoezer. Yakum of Tzererot, the nephew of Hosea ben Yoezer of Tzereda, rode by on a horse as Hosea ben Yoezer, bearing the beam of the gallows, was going forth to be hanged, to be lynched. Jakum said, look at the horse that my master gives me to ride, and look at the horse that thy master gives thee, I, to ride. Hosea ben Joezer replied, if so much is given to such as thee who provoke him, how much more shall be given to those who obey his will? Jakum answered, has any man been more obedient to the will of Elohim than thou, the I? Hosea ben Yoezer replied, quote, if so much is done to those who are obedient to his will, how much more shall be done to those who provoke him? This answer went into Jakum, like the venom of a snake. He went away and imposed upon himself the four death penalties of stoning, burning, beheading, and strangulation. How did he do it? He got a beam and drove it into the ground. To the beam, he firmly tied a rope. He placed sticks of wood in a row and built a wall of stones over them. Then he piled up fuel in front of the beam and put a sword pointed upward in the midst of the fuel. After lighting a fire under the sticks of wood beneath the stones, he hanged himself from the beam and thus strangled himself. The rope broke and he fell into the fire. The sword met him and the wall of stones tumbled upon him. The soul of Yakum departed, and because of his repentance, his teshuvah, he was received. Hosea ben Yoezer, in the drowse of death, spied Yakum's bier flying through space and said, quote, see y'all, this man by a brief hour precedes me into the Gan Eden, into the Garden of Eden, the Ganeta Eden, the Garden of Delights. Ki es adik Yahwat Rakota Ahev Yashar Yahzu Fanemo.
Yes, yes, yes. Do Adonai's work. Yes, sir. Yakum. Yakum. All the ones over that right there, It's kind of interesting. Even in that is grace, where the wicked man was mocking, you know, the righteous brethren, you know what I mean, who trusted in Yahweh, you know, like ones and ones like to mock we, who put a value, you know, as His Majesty did in the Bible, you know. But then finally after, you know, Yoheza said what he said to Yakum, Yakum finally did the Lord's work. So, you know, if ones and ones can repent, even such is a repentance. Yes, sir. Rastafari.